Hi, hon.
Hey.
Are you going out tonight?
Yeah, I'm going to a club.
Oh. Will there be boys there?
No, Mom. It's a nun club.
Well, just be careful.
I will.
Okay, there's nothing more anxiety-provoking than your teenager going off for the night to a club. Now, there are things that are obviously more anxiety-provoking, and we'll talk about them later in the show. For example, being at war. But as a parent, you really shake because you can overdo it. Well, who's going to be there, honey? Call me when you get to the club. And who are you driving with? And who's the designated driver? Now, it's not a club that serves alcohol, is it? No, it's like an under 21 club or something. Oh, it isn't, honey? Well, you're not going to dance. You can't wear makeup. You can't wear that short skirt, honey. Your chest, honey, you just need to put a sweater over that. Here, let me lend you mine. Parents can be very over-involved in your life. And of course, that when you live with that, it's if you're the teenager, you want to say, I'll do what I want to do. And you want to rebel. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you will, but it's just like, oh, get me away from here. When can I move out of the house? Other parents underdo it. They watch the kids engaged with parties. They have pot parties over the house, and they see that their kids are stealing or misbehaving, and they are having sex promiscuously, unprotected sex, and the parents say nothing. It's more like a hang loose. Everyone does their own thing. I'm so cool. I just want my kids to like me. Well, guess what? When your kids are really screwed up, they're not even going to like themselves. So they can't like you. You have to like yourself first before you like anyone else. So just if you're a parent, I have a lot of empathy for you. I have had two teenagers. They're grown now. But I know what that period's like. And I had good teenagers. And I've worked with many, many families where the teenagers are giving their parents a rough time and the parents are giving the teenagers a rough time, and I work to try to make that smoother. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner, and again, you can visit my website, drkenner.com, if you want, or call me if you want, toll free, 1-877-DRKENNER, DRKENNER. Before the break, I was talking about someone who emailed me, hi, Dr. Kenner. Very quick email. I want to know the symptoms of happiness. Please answer me by Tammy. So it sounds like a little kid. Okay, Tammy, there are no symptoms of happiness. Happiness is so wonderful. It's a great internal feeling, being at peace with yourself, at peace with the world, being excited about things that you're looking forward to in life, achieving your values that you want, whether it's if you're younger, if you have a hobby you like, for example, maybe becoming very good in tennis or soccer, or if it's friends that you enjoy getting together, or a career that you can't wait to get into. Maybe you want to be a veterinarian someday and love working with animals and have a pet, have some pets yourself, a dog or a cat. It's living your life well, pursuing your values well. Before the break, I mentioned that there was a quote I want to read you. Does everyone love happiness? And the answer, surprising answer, is no. Listen to this. This is from A Course in Miracles. And of course, I don't believe in any miracles. I think it's nonsense. This is by Robert Perry. To find real happiness, we must realize that we are miserable and that there is no hope of happiness in the ways of the world. Well, Mr. Perry, you may be miserable, but why do you want to bring everyone else down? Why are you preaching this? And what is the alternative? Do you have to kill yourself there, and or what? You know, if there's no hope for happiness in the ways of the world, what are you recommending? And he does go on to recommend things that we should just live for anyone else but ourselves. Well, that's the old gimmick. And most religions will tell you have to live for anyone else but yourself, whether it's for a god or for other people. Totalitarian countries tell you have to live for the state or the Führer or for future generations or for the Aryan race. That's the gimmick. Notice who they leave out in all of these. All of them omit you. You don't matter. You don't count. And the trick is they assume like that if you live for yourself, that it will be against the community. And if you live for yourself, you're a much more benevolent person. And other people will be more benevolent too because they will have achieved happiness. So happiness is the achievement of rational values, not irrational values. If you rob a bank, you can feel a sneering gleefulness, but it's not a sense of living. You're living at odds with reality, with the nature of how you have to deal with people. It's very uncivilized. You want rational goals for yourself. So enduring happiness, not cocaine-induced or some irrational mania or dementia, but enduring rational happiness is fundamentally the achievement of your very good character traits, your willingness to pursue your goals, to set them, the ability to deal with setbacks well, and the achievement of what you love in life. So I wish you, Tammy, a lot of success in pursuing your goals. If you want to know more about this, there's a book, Objectivism, the Philosophy of Ayn Rand, and there's an entire chapter, I think it's chapter 9, on happiness. That is fabulous. And you can, I don't know, that's on my website, Dr. Kenner. We'll put that on the website this week. It's drkenner.com, D-R-K-E-N-N-E-R. Now, how will we welcome them home? How will we welcome our brave soldiers, women and mothers? And they say it's a very unique war. How will we welcome them home? War, battle, combat, the unseen cost to the American armed forces and their families. That was a conference I attended, and one of the speakers said that a military personnel said that he was at an airport, just a random airport, and waiting for a plane, and some soldiers came off the plane. They were dressed in army fatigues, and the crowd spontaneously cheered them. This wasn't even their final destination, I don't think, but people seeing them, random strangers, were just giving them like a standing ovation. And he said it almost brought tears to his eyes. What a different reception home. What a thank you. Thank you for putting your life on the lines for us. Thank you for protecting our freedom. This is so wonderful. Well, what are some of the costs of war? One individual, one of the soldiers, said that he fought in the first days of in Baghdad. He saw first combat in Baghdad, and now he's home. He's got a fiance, and he was just called to go back. And he says that type of uncertainty, not knowing, being able to plan your life long range. Some people don't plan just because they don't, you know, they're discombobulated, but wanting to plan and not being able to. He says, I don't want to go back. He said, how many times can you press your luck? But he will go back. So a lot of empathy to these families. They go, in this conference, they talked about, in terms of welcoming our troops back home, they talked about the different stages that an individual soldier goes through. And I'll use he, even though we know there are women too. Leaving. You're being called up. You've got a period of intense worry and fear. Where will you be stationed? There are, I guess, 9 different countries we're currently stationed in. You're waiting to go over. You leave. There's the tremendous loneliness and sadness of leaving your family behind, of leaving friends, of leaving a career behind. And then you go in, you arrive there. When we get back, we'll talk more about this. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. You're listening to The Rational Basis of Happiness. We will talk about this. We'll also take your calls and questions toll-free, 1-877-DR-KENNER. And my website is drkenner.com.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner.
John was a successful Broadway actor who worked regularly and happily. On vacation, he met and fell in love with Sue, who lived in a small town in Oregon. She ran her own business and loved it very much. There followed an intense long-distance romance that lasted almost a year. Wanting a permanent relationship, Sue ultimately demanded that John quit his New York job and move to the West Coast to live with her. John complained that he could not pursue his acting career in Oregon and
refused to give it up. Sue was furious at John's refusal. This conflict ended the relationship. Conventionally, one would call Sue selfish, but observe that her demand was not, in fact, in her actual self-interest because it destroyed a relationship that she greatly valued.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.